No, I'm clear with citation. I don't change what I raised. The point that I was raising, sir, is in relation to Section 198A. Remember earlier, I was arguing in terms of Clause 43 alone, the citation and everything else, and the reference that was made to what Section 198 as we speak, how is it structured? Because the emphasis was around subsection 4 of Section 198, the budget, and arguing that if you look at that subsection 4 of 198 and this amendment, I think in particular C of the amendment at C, which says any order or award made against several blah blah blah, it goes that way. Yes. So now the argument from the department on 198A subsection 3B and subsection 4 was on the basis of the service agreement that I made reference to earlier. Did I feel any? The service agreement that is signed between the client and the temporary employment service, there's always a clause in that service agreement. Because the labor broker is providing a service by human beings. I don't want to go to the constitution in relation to that when it comes to trade. Now, once there is a service agreement between the temporary employment service and the client, now, if the temporary employment service, the labor broker, let me put it that way, if the labor broker now wants to place personnel to the client, and then there's always a clause in the employment contract now of placing this worker that says you are placed to client A, you will be there as long as your services are required. And it is not just something that reflects in this employment contract that is placing this worker. It's also there even in the service agreement. Now, that's the issue, sir, that I am contesting here. Irrespective of what subsection 3 and subsection 4 says, bearing in mind the previous days we have been arguing that and we're told that a contract of employment is a very important document, even more than above this law, unless it's changed today. Thank you, sir. I can see hands that are doing like this. I want to hear, what is this?
The contract and the law.
Yes, sir.
Let's get Khalifa and then Ms. Williams.
We said the law, there's a hierarchy in the law. The law, under normal circumstances, respects a contract of employment, unless that contract of employment contravenes the law. And unless the law says, by contract of employment, you can sign out on that specific section. You when you read this specific section, you will see in different sections of this law, it will say where a contract of employment is allowed, where bargaining counsel is allowed, or where a contract of employment would not be regarded as complying with this law. Whilst the law respects contract of employment, it's not a blanket respect on all respects. It's as far as the law allows it to amend the law. If the law doesn't allow a bargaining council agreement to amend the law prevails. Unless the law says this section can be amended by bargaining council agreement or by a contract of employment. That's how law works. Where the law allows parties to enter into contracts which are different to the law, then the law will respect that contract. But if the law does not allow you to do that, you can't do it on a basis of contract because the labor relations that respect contracts. I mean, that's the understanding that how law operates, and that's what we're trying to explain. I'm not sure whether Surya wants to add on that, but that's the basis of the of that one. But I still want to debate this issue about the other issues that have been raised.
I've actually had instances where people say the contract was unlawful. You may have a contract, but find that that contract is outside the bounds of the law. I just wanted to talk to that one if it's a right thing to say. Is it possible to say that the contract is unlawful?
Thank you. Generally, is that first thing is that this the laws provide a contract. Your contract of employment, or when you enter into contract regarding employment, it can't provide you lesser rights than what the law currently provides. This is a minimum threshold. It can maybe give you more rights or put you in a better position, but if you can't contract into a lesser position or something which will give you lesser protection than the labour laws itself. And then with regard to contract, if you enter into contract and you enter into something which is not lawful, they usually say the contract is ultra vires or something is against the law, against good policy, that type of thing. So when someone enters into a contract and gives the person lesser rights than this, that contract will not be, I would say, you can't enforce it, it won't be enforceable. They will look at the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, which gives you the minimum threshold. The contract can give you better conditions and give you more rights or improve, but it can't go any lesser than that because the labor legislation is the threshold, the minimum threshold. So whatever you enter into the contract, if an employer puts a clause in your contract which gives you lesser protection or goes against any of these provisions, that clause will be struck down and it can't be enforced. Thanks.
Thank you. Advocate Gordon.
Thank you, Chair. Just to elaborate further on the member's position of determining the clause where it says you will be with the client as long as your services are required. If that's as vague as that draft is, the fallback position would be, if we look at the amendments and the Principal Act, we'll find that in clause 44 of the amendment bill before us, if we're looking at 198 capital A, 3B, it says you're not performing a temporary service for a client, then you're deemed to be the employee of that client, which means that if you're earning under the threshold and your labor broker, your TES, has stated in the contract that you will be with a client for as long as that service is required, it then means that you are performing what is called not a temporary service. Now, in 198, sub 1, from A to C, this amendment bill seeks to set out what a temporary service is. Now, if you're performing, let's say your service or your contract, your labor broker says to an employee, you are required for 4 months, then we know it's a temporary service. You are going to fulfill a position of a woman on maternity leave, but her employer has granted her 10 months because it's a company that goes beyond the conditions in the basic. that would also be within the ambit of temporary services, not in terms of 198 capital A1A, but it would be a temporary service in terms of 198A capital 1B, because you're fulfilling a temporary position of an employee that's in that company. Now, in that scenario, you would then be the employee of the labor broker. So there's no problem. But now that labor broker says to you, go work for a client as long as your services are required. That is presumptive to be longer than the 6 months, because you don't know what the nature is. Courts are also clear that when you do not state the time in a contract of employment, it is deemed to be what is called indefinite. It goes on permanent. And that is the 198A sub 3B that we're talking about. Now you're no longer the employee of the labor broker, you're the employee of the client, because you're there for a longer period. So therefore there's now the onus or the status of the relationship changes. But we must remember that is only applicable if I'm earning below the threshold. If I'm earning above the threshold, then the current 198A in the Labor Relations Act, the Principal Act, applies. And that says that you are the employee of the labor broker, the TES, not the client. So we must be careful of that distinction. 198A, 19 capital A in the Amendment Bill only applies that distinction between temporary and permanent if I earn below the earnings threshold. If I earn above, I, notwithstanding the type of service and for how long and what I'm doing, I am the employee of the TES. Thank you, Chief.
It's becoming much more interesting.
Yes.
So this thing applies twice. If you are any more, after, you know, you remain a, you remain there, because you, most people will learn about that, can sign and understand contracts and the implication of contracts. But those who are aiming below usually will be people who do not have, are non-professional people doing a, you know, a typical.
Yes.
Do members want to comment on again on this one, the second bite, or let's move on? Honorable Nyagem.
Thank you, Chair. Moving on doesn't necessarily say we agree. I just wanted to register that. Secondly, from the look of things, Chair, this engagement, remember earlier, we're talking about clause 43, but in the main, that's what was presented by the department, is clause 43. But in the main, the discussions were including 43 and 44. From where we're sitting, we think that we have done with clause 44.
Hey, keep quiet. That's what I'm saying, honorable member. I need to protect yourself from your own self.
This one.
Yeah, so you're about to kill each other.
I'm sitting in the middle of the chair.
Yeah.
And neutralize them. No, I'm saying, when I say we are united, it means when we, in the next document, we are going to make those insertions and then vote, discuss and vote at the later stage. And when we do the voting, there's not going to be this long, lengthy discussion, because we have already discussed. So people will be given particular minutes to engage. You go to the point, and if you want to make lots of preambles, you can do it when we re-amend the act again the next year, because laws are made to be changed, and when we change them because of the changing material conditions, when the conditions changes, we are forced to revisit the laws again. So you won't, it's not the end of the world. People will still get a time to change them in the near future if they need to be changed. So let us engage members. Let's move. Mkalipi.
Yeah, I just want to say this to Honorable Nyakemba, that would prefer, you see, the positive side, instead of saying, if we say let's proceed, it doesn't mean that we agree. It would be better if you say it doesn't mean that we disagree.
Something is not challenged, then we make the insertions in the working document, so that when we discuss next time, we're not going to go back to those things that we agreed upon, you know. So I don't want to be a confusion, you know. So let's move on.
We will take, I mean, we'll agree with Honorable Nyakemba that 44, we've had a long discussion on it even now. The only issue there is the 6 months. I mean, we've had that debate. We'll go to the next one. Which
we'll vote on the 6 months, 3 months, and no months.
Yeah.
Actually,
there are three suggestions, and they are still there. So we won't be talking about the rest.
It's 12 months, 3 months, no months.
It's no months. It's zero. 3, 6. Oh, and one.
And 12.
And one, yeah. Honorable Funder says this, and last week talked about 1 year.
Yeah, that's
12
months.
Yeah, that is 12 months, yeah. It's one of the options. It's 1 year, and then there was 6 months, there's 3 months, and there is 0 months.
That's an exclusive
reserve
of
the honorable member. No, it's not necessarily banning. But they say, no, when you are employed, when you get the job, there's no need for this probationary period or whatever. You get to work and then you go until the work is finished.
If you zero months,
you cannot call it a ban. I think let's not label things, please. Let's not throw labels at this. There is 1 year, that is 12 months, there is 6 months, there is 3 months, and there is zero. We can't call it banning.
Chairperson, these months that you're giving are 198A1, 199BE4, 4E, and 198CD. They're not just 198A1A. It's all the places where it says 6 months, 6 months, 6 months.
Yeah.
So it's either 3 months, 3 months, or 12 months, 12 months, 12, 0 months, 0 months, 0 months.
Yeah. It all of them.
Yeah,
where there is 6 months, we add 1, 0, 3.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, 198B, as Honorable Williams has indicated, that also speaks about the 6 months. The same situation of the party.
Sure.
The one on fixed term contract. Everything else, even at NetLeg, has been agreed by all parties. Not formally, but because it's a package on the issues. But there's a buy-in on the fixed term contract on everything else, except the 6 months and the And the other issue that is also that I want just to put on the table is age. It's the issue of the issue of the probation. Is it B?
B4E.
Yes. B. Those are the two issues around here on the 6M contract. Is that 6 months, and the issue of the of E, of probation, where. Also, we've put it that you can have somebody on a fixed-term contract to test their suitability. That's what we put it. Those are the two controversial issues from parties at NEDLEC. I'm just putting on the table all the issues that are there. On part-time, on 98.6, 198C, there's no issue there, except that well, there's disagreement between labour and business. Business feels very strongly. You remember the input made by what is this clothing company that makes a lot of money?
Mr. Price.
The input made by Mr. Price. It affects all. Retail companies, they all have got a lot of people working on part time. They work, I mean, all of them, mass, they've got people working starting on Friday, and they will work Friday, Saturday, because those are the two busiest days of the retail, because civil servants got paid and they go and buy. Therefore, they need more people on those days. Retail sector is very unhappy with the proposal of part-time. His proposal, they meet the requirement, the regulation, and the ILO recommendations around on how to deal with part-time. They are not increasing their time. Other than they say that they must be treated comparably the same as their counterpart. They will take home less, they will take home 2 days' pay, but it will be comparatively the same in terms of if the other people work 2 days, they will take the same amount. That's what these are trying to say. And the business is very not happy about that proposal. And that's 198. 198D. Is unpacking the issue of equal pay and for the issue of different treatment, where the Act indicates to court and the commissioner what is it that they need to look at to justify a different pay. Remember the provision 198A to 198C talks to equal pay for work of capital, basically, no different treatment. But then 198D says that there could be different treatment based on seniority, experience, length of service, merit, the quality, quantity, or any other criteria that is not prohibited by the Employment Equity Act. And that's it's giving the courts and the CCMA some criteria. There could be others, but I mean, these are what the court is putting on the table. That's what 180 indicates. And that will be the whole of 198, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think the I don't just want to assume the yesterday and the other days one had discussions on the question of engagement. engaged, all those things. He was. But I understand that the lawyers in the working document, they will look at what can be, whether there should be a definition or what, and try to deal with engaged. Because it's reflecting in 198B 4E. So I'm saying in the working document, I'm just raising that that in the working document, I think that they will look at that. Because he says has been engaged for a trial period of not longer than 6 months, all those things. But I know there's zero, there's three, there's six, there's 12 months, all those things. But that's for us being together in terms of.
But I think we need to come with a suggestion if we have any, and then so that they look at if it's if it would be a better legal language, maybe say employ or advocate Gordon.
Thank you, Chair. We're really busy with the working document and the draft that we have that will be ready for next week that we're busy working on. We have taken that word engaged and we have replaced it with employed and to make it read within the context.
Happy.
The smiles, the lawyer is smiling. Workshop on smiling. For William. Tickling me a bit.
Yeah, I always do.
winning.
Yeah, this one is uniting us. Let's move on.
Also deals with the issue that you're raising here. It's just a simple amendment, amending citation in terms of employment law, insolvency act, but I think the most important thing, this is what is in the act now. A person who works for or render service to any other person is presumed, regardless of the form of contract, to be an employee if any more of the following factors are present, which is the presumption of who's an employee. And the only thing that is doing here is including all the other laws, employment laws, in the ambit of that. And then also, when we apply 198, the presumption still relevant. If there's any question about whether people are employees or not, there, it's not about whether you're employed by a labor broker. This is about whether you are an independent contractor or you are an employee. Basically, that's what I'm trying to say. 46, 44, 45. There's really nothing there. It's just a technical amendment, basically. It doesn't raise any new areas. That's what there should be. There should be no reason to be a disagreement.
Let's just check that one for our records. 45, is it a unit? It's okay. Okay. Yeah, Honorable William.
Thank you, Chairperson. 45 is, we have no problem with it. We as a collective.
The 46 is trying to deal with the issue of outsourcing here, in a way, and it recognizes that there might be more than two people who are responsible and affect the labor relations. Therefore, it's opening up that avenue that says that if one or more persons who carry related associate work are seen to be employers, then you could technically use that section to bring them into the list. And that's the intention of this section. And then come in with the joint and several ability if you are found to be. And the situation that was raising is you got two organizations, the other one is giving service in the security industry, and the hotel manager uses his influence over the security manager who's got a contract with him to dismiss me. And I know that it is at the instance of the hotel manager. The hotel manager can decide and hold responsible for that dismissal, not only the security company, if we have a counterfeit. That's what this is trying to do, because the labor is concerned. I mean, the manifesto of the ruling party talked to dealing with labor brokers and subcontracting, and that's what this is talking to.
Yeah, that's it, honorable members. Is it uniting us?
Unless it doesn't support the point.
Hey, so we support them.
Yes, Chairperson, we have no problem with this number 46.
Okay.
We.
Let us move on.
47?
No, it's you. And then if it's anyone who has a problem with that, they'll raise their hand. And if they keep quiet, it means they agree with you. So the I becomes we. Let's move on.
47 is just an amendment enable the minister to issue good practice and publish them. And at what stage should the minister say, well, Netlev, you've had your time, now I'm going ahead? And that's what this is trying to do, and all parties, it's been agreed, but it's just a technical amendment. It's not here nor there.
Not here nor there, but it's in the paper, so honorable members, if it's on paper, we have to discuss it.
We don't agree, but we understand. I've pressed here, we don't agree, we understand.
I just want to get this thing straight. What do you mean? The comment is that this is not going to change the price of milk. Do we still need to discuss it, or we take it as it is?
We understand.
Any other comment from the members?
Chairperson, I agree with the clause. Thank you.
Is there any objection to this one? Okay, yeah. No, it's taken now.
48, it's definitions. It's amending. It's including the definition of the commission. Presently, the commission is not defined. The director is defined. It's including that. It's just correcting a citation there, and including the UIF, the Unemployment Contributions Act, as part of the act that are defined, and also is defining serve. What does serve mean? The labor court will decide in terms of its own rules. The CCMA, the same, and the bargaining council, all other instances is defined as all of those issues that are there. The intention is to enable the labor court, if it wants, to even accept SMS as a form of SEP, if it wants, or the CCMA, or the bargaining council. The CCMA now gives notice to parties through SMS of when their case. If you go to the CMA, you launch a case today, you receive an SMS today giving you the date and the venue for your case where it will be held. And the respondent also received the same notice through SMS. Therefore, this the definition will enable the CMA to amend these rules and put. I mean, as technology changes, meet up with the changes in technology. That's 48.
I respect you, sir. I don't just talk without. I raise my hand first in order for you to point at me. No, sir. The in these definitions, I'm not sure, Mr. Mkalibe. I can't see an SMS to be one of the proof of serving. You mentioned an SMS, but these definitions are in order. But if Ms. Mkalibe can again talk to the issue of SMS.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that it doesn't say that. But the rules of the CCMA can, if the CCMA want to put that in the rules, and as the sections indicate that the rules of serve in the CCMA will be determined by the CCMA rules, and the Labour Court the same, and the same with the Bargaining Council. Therefore, it is what I'm saying is that the CCMA can say that we expect we accept emails, for example, as a form of serving or anything that they would want to put on. That's what this is saying. Instead of, yes, it's empowering the CCMA, it's an empowering provision for them to determine their own rules in terms of serve. Presently, the law indicates what serve is. The new arrangement is that now they can adapt means of serve in terms of what they think their clients uses.
State law advice.
Thanks, Jay. Also, just to point out that recently in the Durban High Court, I think history was made when the judge ordered service via Facebook. So technology is advancing, so they're using more ways to find the people, because at times you find that the person who they need to serve it on is deliberately avoiding, they don't go to the place, they don't get the thing. So how do you, if you look at what the objective is to get it to that person. And you know, people have become so addicted to Facebook that they're so tempted to look at this show about over there. They go on Facebook and then they think. Yeah, so you can even serve. So, but the court rules will provide for that, the judgments will come and give effect to different things, yeah.
To what Honorable Surya was saying, that people run away from the sheriff. They run away from the sheriff, but they are all every day on Facebook.
Yeah.
But they run away from the sheriff. When the sheriff arrives at home to serve, they are not there. But the applicant sees them on Facebook every day. And then and then that's how that case arises, because the sheriff can't serve the document, you're running away, but you are on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you open your email, and that's the issue.
And you can't lie if you say your phone was stolen, we'll know that you did open the mails, you know, you made calls before and after it, so... And again, it covers most people who, you know, take taxis from far, going to meetings, to the court, and the taxi gets a tire puncture. You can send an SMS to court and say, I'm late because we are in an accident, or the taxi broke down, and that will be taken. That will be accepted by, it will be acceptable by the court, and I'm still consulting my sangoma. He went to collect some wood on the mountains. That will help me through the course. So that was part of the preparation for the case. thank you, Mkalibi.
yeah, interpretation, because of the change that has taken place in that section, adding more subsection. Now what was referred as M is now K. Basically that's what it does. And 50 is the title of the act. Nothing changes there.
Welcome, welcome, Honorable Manaman. Advocate Gordon, will you switch off?
Thank you, Chair. I think at this point, I just need to point out to the committee that actually clause 50, the short title, will change. Because what is missing from that section is to say that how this act is going to come into operation, because usually it will come into operation by a date determined by the President in proclamation, by proclamation. That needs to be stated in clause 50, but we will do that next week when we present the working document. Also, just to alert members at this point in time that there may be a possibility that in clause 44 of the bill, on page 21, 4 capital F, on page 21 of the bill, 4 capital F, just above clause 44, 4 capital F. That provision may, it's coming into operation, may have to be suspended. Because it says no person can perform a service as a test unless it's done in terms of applicable legislation. Now the department has advised that that legislation is still coming.
It's employment services.
Yeah. Mm. So if this bill is passed before the next bill is through the parliamentary process, and the President signs this bill, it means this bill comes into operation. But we then don't have the complementary legislation to support 4 capital F. So what we'll do in clause 50 of the bill, the short title, we will introduce a sub 2 which says notwithstanding the coming into operation of this bill, 4F will be suspended to the date of coming into operation by the next bill passed, by the relevant legislation referred to in that. Just to alert that that is an amendment that we will be bringing to this committee.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, and then we are done on the LRA. Let me thank the members for this untiring engagement. But that what is left is when we come back on Tuesday, we'll have a working document that will help us now when we go clause by clause and then voting. So from Tuesday, we could either do that or freeze that part and go into the basic conditions of employment. Nothing stops us from doing that or going into the clause by clause and voting. Or we can still freeze this and then look at the basic conditions. Advocate Gordon.
Chair, I know that it's not my decision to make. I know that's for the members to decide. But I think just from a working perspective from our side, I think we may just lose momentum on the LRA if we do the basic conditions of employment without maybe taking the LRA to its full process. Because I think the engagement that we have, the department, ourselves, members, we're all on the same thinking and the thought is, and so in that momentum, I think it would be best to have the working document Tuesday to look at the clauses, and once we're all in agreement, to then go to the basic conditions. Otherwise, we're going to have two balls that's open and we don't have any certainty on going forward.
Honourable members, that's the suggestion from Advocate Gordon. Manaman.
I agree with that. But just to check, when are we going to get the working document in the meeting on Tuesday, or is there a possibility of getting it earlier?
Any other comment from the members so that the team can answer? Okay, that question unites us all.
Thank you, Chair. I would love to say that the document would be ready before Tuesday, Monday, but realistically, Chair, the volume of work is not going to allow us to make that commitment. What I should say is, taking into account that we're already working the weekend, we've factored in all extra time. There's a lot of issues in law that we need to consider in order to have the working document. Looking at where we are in the working document now, the working document is an easy read. It's not something that's overly complicated. What we have done is we said, for instance, the issues that members have raised. For instance, let's look at clause 44. When we get in the working document to clause 44, we will have bullet points. This was the issue, the time of the contract extension, 6 nor 3. And then below that, we will have the actual draft of the bill to say, this is what it will look like with those amendments. This is our thinking. So it will actually be a deliberation reading process. It's not like we're going to have this weighty worded document that somebody would need to read before the time. Exactly like we're reading the bill now, that's what the working document is going to look like. Just adding, of course, the legal certainty that the committee is looking to us for on the questions that were raised. Thank you, Chair.
And that will be our working document one. And then for reference, we'll refer to this. Because some of the things that are in here will be taken out. We're going to make a printout of what is the ideal thing. And then as we engage, if we say 44P for reference, okay, this is what in the working document is this. But if one to refer, go to the bill. So we'll be working on two documents. The bill and you know you're talking and you'll be taking us back. I just hope you're not going to take us back. I just said that we're going to work with two documents. The first one will not change until the end, but the second document will change each time we engage. I mean each time we debate issues and all that until after voting. And what do we do now? It's about 12 o'clock now. Oh, it's 11:30. Or we open the basic conditions. Or we call it a day. I'll only Ms. Williams.
Thank you. I think since we do have time now, maybe it would be useful also if the committee can more or less also give us an indication as to what changes they would like to propose to it. We had the discussions and yes, there's work to come back and bring it back to the committee, but also just to give us an indication as to what they're posing or what they, you know, to put some things in the pot that we have some sort of direction. Not that we don't have direction, but that we just define the direction, just to give us an indication as to what they're looking at. Like earlier you said the 1 month, the 3 months, the 6 months, the 12 months, and that type of thing. So that when we explore options, when we look at the bill again, we can look at it with those options in mind, with the thinking of the committee in mind, so they can maybe give us some sort of direction. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Honourable Manamera, is there another hand?
I don't know if it's going to help because we, for instance, on the clause that you are referring to, he can say 0 months. I think the other colleagues are also not here. So it may not necessarily be helpful, but I suppose the discussions as they have been taking place thus far, they should hopefully form an idea of what kind of background or what kind of direction we should take, or even some of the options, because I think in some of the discussions there have been like options that you know could be considered. I would propose that we call it a Thursday, and we hopefully with whatever time that's remaining, we may be able to get the working document much earlier. I don't know.
Can I say that? No, as far I've been answering this question because is that where possible you could, like for instance, if the problem was with the wedding, the phrasing, you could have more than one. You could either phrase it this way, that way, or the other way. So make them three, so that there's something to debate and choose from. But as we debate, we may even bring the number one and three together to form one paragraph that will make a lot of sense. So that's what we could do. But as we were debating these issues earlier, we've been giving instruction on what needs to be done, you know. Get more information about this one. And I think that is what we need to do. Let's not add other things that were not agreed upon in the initial discussions with other, because you know here in this committee, even though we work as a committee, but we belong to political parties. So, and today is only the ANC, and yesterday it was only the DA, and the last other week it was only the DA. And you cannot, because other people are not here, start to change the rules. You know, it doesn't work very well. So, let's say we stick with what was said, you know, and then we'll engage when we meet. And if somebody is not, or a representative of a particular idea, are not in the meeting when we discuss that portion, we're not going to go back to that portion to accommodate them. You see? Because otherwise there'll never be any movement forward. And Mwango, who belongs to this committee, has never said in any of our discussions, so he can even take us back to the first day where we started. So let's not do something that will give us problems as we move on. Kalipi, your hand is up. And did I see?
Mine is not the same issue. Mine is, I'm not sure. If you've got time, there's not much in the BCA. You've got two options. We went through the BCA the last time. There really was no controversy. If members say that our colleagues, when they finish with LRA, they can continue doing the second one, the working document on the BCA, if there's anything that needs to be done, or if we are not giving that directive, then we've got to. I'm worried that we'll on Tuesday go on the LRA, and on first of all Wednesday, then I've got to take you through again on the BCA. Then we've lost time on that. If members say that there's no need for that again in the BCA, then it's fine. Then they can work on the working document on the basis of what was discussed in the last time. I mean, that's the issue that I'm worried about. That if we're going to lose this time now, then we've got to work it somewhere else on the BCA.
Mukalib, you are taking us back because you agreed on this matter. When we finished the basic conditions, we said, next time we discuss, we'll be working on document on working document one. You know, so we agreed about working document one of them. But when we meet on Tuesday, we're not going to go. We're not going to be dealing with basic. We're not going to be dealing with. We'll continue with the LRA when it's still fresh in our minds. You know, go clause by clause, do the voting, put it aside, and then we jump onto the working document on the basic conditions. I think that's what we agreed upon. And I think the other will be we'll wait for. We're getting the document on Friday for public employment services, so that we agree that if it lands on our table on Friday, by Monday the adverts should be going out for public hearings, and maybe we can take an in-principle agreement about how long should we give people for those inputs. Do we do it next year, or do we have it in February? Maybe when we meet on Tuesday, we'll engage on that one. Maybe we shouldn't engage on it now, but people should think about the public hearings for the two bills. Welcome, Dr. Lewis. We nearly closed the meeting before you arrived. You're welcome. No, no, no. I'm just seeing how lucky you are. honorable members, oh, is there? Oh, Advocate Gordon.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to make a housekeeping note, and the point that I wanted to raise was the following: in the legislative process, the different phases that we enter into, our members and the chairperson must take into account that Dr. Lewis and I are parliamentary legal advisors. And our role is important to the committee because we have to advise members in this process. So the department plays a role, but we have to come into the process, and ultimately it's the advice that we give the committee upon which the committee has to make that decision. So it's important that when we bring the working document that members are mindful of the fact of our position to the members in this committee. Our role is to make sure we're all on the same side. Our role is to make sure that the bill that we put out is not unconstitutional. And so we're looking at the interest of members as well as the legislation, but ultimately it's the opinion from our office that should inform the decisions to this committee. Thank you, Chair.
She spoke like a lawyer she is. What she means is that when it comes to matters of constitutionality of our discussion, the last word is with them, not the department. Mkalip. Yeah. Okay, honorable. The hands from them, from honorable members on my. Okay, next. Let's meet on Tuesday. We meet on Tuesday. What time? 9 o'clock. Okay, thank you very much.
9 o'clock. 9.
This is a very important session for me and for all of us, of course. But I'm starting as a strategy meeting. Can we have order? No, can I propose that we start by 9:30?
It's a suggestion that we start the meeting by 9:30. It works for me.
It works very well for me. In fact, I propose that all meetings start at 9:30. So that time works for me.
But I only get it. But again.